Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lore Boys are here. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer. Joining me is Pete O'Donoghue taking a big sip of beer.
I was going to cover for him, but you had to call him out. Right?
I did want to call him out.
It's Pete O'Donoghue here. I spent 9 hours writing a script because I thought it was my turn.
And James Miller, top 100 U.S. East Barbarians.
Dab, 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 dab.
Ethan Palmer, I'm a bottom, not a top. So,
bottom 100,
top nothing.
Get confused if they had a ranking of top bottoms.
Well, I mean, just as confused as the list of bottom tops, right?
The worst tops and yeah. Best bottoms would just be that entire ranking is a mess.
I'd rather be a best bottom than a worst top, right?
I know I have the best bottom.
Yeah,
it's a juicy peach.
I got two left feet when it comes to sex. I'm just a terrible top.
I'm all thumbs, damn it.
Some people might say that's a good thing.
Depends where you're putting them.
Yeah, exactly. As we've understood with wrestling.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Stay tuned for after the show to figure out what Peter's talking about larynx is for.
Yep.
We're not a sex advice podcast, despite popular opinion, because we give terrible sex advice. Now, we're a comedy podcast that talks about fictional lore, as Peter always says to us before we start recording, fake history is the best history.
I do say that to them all the time.
All the time. We're talking about Warhammer 40K today, or 40,000, if you prefer. We've talked about it before. Do you guys remember what we've talked about in the past? Okay, don't all jump down my throat at once.
Horus Heresy.
We've done the Horus Heresy, yeah, which is about the ascension of the emperor, the god emperor of mankind, and some of his most trusted followers. And we've done two other topics in the Warhammer 40K canon.
We did the Necron.
Mm-hmm. Who are like...
Who are the spooky skeletons.
Yeah, they were people enslaved to toxic sun, which gave them all... cancer continuously, and they were a plagued people who were just constantly dying off young, until some space vampires showed up and said, "We can make you better and stronger," and they traded their mortality and their souls for immortality and cool coffin spaceships. And we've done one other topic. Do you guys remember?
I feel like I always forget this one.
It's the most recent one, so it's kind of funny.
What did I draw?
Because The first two, I think we did them both in season one, so like a long time ago.
Two and a half years ago.
Horus Heresy was season two because I was in Poland during that time. I remember listening to it because you had a guest on, and I remember being in a bar in Poland and feeling like I was with my friends.
Aww. That's cute. So we've also done the Eldar, who are one of the oldest sapient races in the Milky Way galaxy.
I remember what I'm trying to remember what I drew, but it's just because I drew that demon and then the guy smashing a turkey dinner with a hammer.
That's what it was. Because you asked me what you drew, and I was like, I don't remember what you drew.
Why the fuck did you forget that episode?
We talked about the Avatar of Khorne and Khorne, the god of warfare, and how their gods were kind of just like regular Eldari who lived among them for a while, and they built up a partition between the two. So if that sounds like anything interesting to you, and if you get to the end of this episode and you're like, hey, this sounds like a pretty cool canon, a pretty cool universe to explore, we do have some other episodes. We'll do our best to link them in the description of whatever podcast app you're using. So, keep an eye out there. If you can't find them there, www.theloreboys.com, and, you'll find all our episodes.
Better yet, if you don't like Warhammer 40K after this episode, we have 130 episodes about other shit that you can listen to as well.
non-Warhammer 40K stuff for sure.
We could be your favorite non-Warhammer related content on the internet if you'd like.
We could be your favorite Warhammer related content if you'd like, or your favorite non-Warhammer related content if you'd like.
Flexible, baby.
All I can say is we'd like you to like us.
Yeah, very, very much. Yes.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. I have a quote for you guys here from the Inquisitor Bronislaw Shavak at the Conclave of Har.
He sounds like,
let's hear that quote.
An Empire of Man kind of dude, is he?
Yep, Imperium of Man. Yeah. Is all the human race throughout the Milky Way galaxy in the year 40K plus. So he said, there is a cancer eating at the Imperium. With each decade, it advances deeper, leaving drained, dead worlds in its wake. This horror, this abomination, has thought and purpose which functions on an unimaginable galactic scale, and all we can do is try to stop the swarms of bioengineered monsters it unleashes upon us by instinct. We have given the horror a name to salve our fears. We call it the Tyranid race, but if it is aware of us at all, it must know us as only prey.
Cool. What are the Tyranids again?
So that's basically the focus of this episode. We're going to get into what the Tyranid are, how they operate, why they operate. But they're mostly like Zerg. They're the most Zerg-like to compare to StarCraft, which is, I know, something relatable to you. I guess for listeners at home, they're like bio machines. So if they have like an artillery cannon, it's like a living creature which spits like acid spores like crazy long distances. And if they have a tank, it's like something that like walks on all fours with giant scythes for arms and just like runs through stuff.
They're like the arachnids from Starship Troopers, which we've also covered.
Yeah, a lot like that. They're the unstoppable force, rather than the immovable object, if you were.
I thought before you mentioned Tyranids, that we were doing orcs, because I know they have some strange origin in 40K.
I mean, orcs. Yeah, in both of them, orcs are in Age of Sigmar. I play as the orcs. They're easily one of my favorite races. In when I played Warhammer 40K, though, I did play Tyranid.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know what made me choose this today. I was bouncing between a couple things. I almost did another Magic the Gathering topic, Elspeth, which I kind of teased on my last episode. But I was researching both, and I was like, I was more feeling this. So they hold
the Hive.
Exactly. They were the first Warhammer sets that I ever bought. So the Hive Mind called out to me and definitely got me with that visceral horror, you know?
Yep.
Cash me outside with that horrible abomination. Yeah, so they're
just absorb races. Do you think this is okay to show up and eat everybody?
Yeah, so that's I mean, a very good synopsis, a very good TLDR of what they do. But I'll give you guys the long form for it now. So okay. As we established, they're a playable race in Warhammer 40K of biological weapons suited, evolved, and adapted to solve any problem. But they're always seeking to serve one purpose, to devour, as Pete says. Tyranids can... Go ahead.
I was going to say, is there a math homework Tyranid that solves
any problem?
Any problem.
You got a guy with 42 watermelons and you got a train moving at 30 kilometers an hour west. They got a Tyranid for that, okay?
You got a figurine for that. It's $80.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 42 cents worth of plastic and it costs you $120.
Human plus acid spit equals human minus a face.
Yeah, there you go. So Tyranids consume all organic and biological material they come across, and they use that material to create more of their own kind. So that they fully reproduce by having one like egg-laying thing that decides what the hive swarm needs at any given time, and just gathers a bunch of like goop, like you know, people soup or plant soup, and shapes it into a gene stealer or a Hive Tyrant or a Carnifex or whatever they may need. So the Tyranids do not build their starships and weapons from metal and plastic like the other intelligent races of the Milky Way galaxy. You guys will remember all of Warhammer 40K takes place in the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah.
There's no Imperium Man, the Eldar. Nobody has ever figured out how to travel the void between the galaxies. It's just too great.
Are you saying that in 40,000 years, Mass Effect Andromeda is still a shitty game?
Yeah, in 38,000 years, but yeah.
38,000 years.
I mean, a lot of this actually takes place in the 42nd millennium, so you're not wrong.
Okay.
The year 40,000 is, I guess, where the first canonical stories from Warhammer 40K happened. The Horus Heresy was in the year 30,000. Okay. Like 30 to 33, I think, was when the Horus Heresies happened. But all the in-game conflicts and everything happened between 40,000 plus, and a lot of these, like I say, is like 41, 745 or something like that. So they used gene splicing and bioengineering to grow their starships from the organic biomatter harvested from the planets they consume. So absolutely everything these guys do is biomatter, biomass. Nothing metal, no plastics, which I mean, like, hey, that's, plastics are horrible. They take way too long to biodegrade, so.
Do they have, like, Tyranid hippies who are concerned with, like, discarded bone island in the middle of the ocean?
I assume they all are. I think they're the natural evolution of Greenpeace, right? I think this is where Greenpeace is headed.
One day the hippies seek to liquefy and turn into giant flying beetles.
I mean, we all seek to, right?
Yeah, that's why nobody likes the Green New Deal. Is Ocasio-Cortez was just like, yeah, do all this stuff. Like, cool, yeah, this is all great. Turn into beetle monsters. And everybody's just like, wait a second.
How would Greenpeace even be compared? Like, I guess they don't believe in plastic condoms, so they're reproducing faster. So there's more of them. I don't know.
Yeah, we got a real problem with if you get hippies in your basement, you gotta like do the whole house. You gotta tent it.
Yeah. You can't just throw out the mattress. You really gotta bring the whole place down, you know?
Yeah, because hippie eggs can survive without food for months.
So not just starships. Every weapon, gland, and projectile used in their armies is a bioengineered Tyranid organism in its own right, from the spores polluting the atmosphere to the grotesque spires that burst from the tortured ground during an invasion. Tyranid warrior organisms are creatures of visceral horror, implacable monsters with razor-sharp claws which can tear a man apart in the blink of an eye, and grotesque biocannons that fire hungry, parasitic projectiles into their prey's flesh.
So even their ammunition is alive.
Everything is alive. So it just they shoot like a little mouth at you. They shoot a pair of dentures at you, and it just starts chewing away.
They have chomp, so many lined up teeth, yeah.
You ever seen a sandwich that could take a bite out of you?
I hate that imagery though of like getting hit by like larvae and then it growing under your skin or something like that. That's awful.
They're gross. They're the gross things in Warhammer. I don't know what it was as a child that so attracted me to like the Tyranids or the Zerg or you know all these like all devouring monsters that spawned like horrible fleshy apparatuses.
Little boys like bugs.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
And all consuming power.
And me, as a grown man now, power scares me and bugs scare me. So,
how the tables have turned. Puberty fucks you up.
Puberty really did fuck me up.
Power scares you.
Like the both. Government, probably.
The government scares me. If I have too much responsibility, yeah. I clam up. Also, electrical currents. How do they work? I don't know.
Okay, that's fair.
They're in my walls, man. So every weapon and projectile used by the Hive fleets is a living organism or biomorph grown from the reconstituted biomatter of previous invasions. The Tyranids have no form of mechanical technology, like I've said, and instead harness an advanced form of biotechnology to create organic equivalents of the tools, weaponry, and ammunition used by other intelligent species. If they got a hammer, that hammer is made out of flesh. You know,
they gotta fire the hammer in that case. Is that a thing?
Yeah, they got a really strong union, so yeah, everyone's gonna get.
The hammer has the hammer has like a gaping maw on the end of it, so when you hit someone that's also biting them.
I was gonna ask, like, if are there any one of the Tyranids that just like spit acid? Is it just regular acid, or is it like a bunch of tiny caustic monsters?
I'm gonna say Lore Boy's canon, it's tiny caustic monsters. Like not even caustic monsters, but tiny little monsters that just eat. Like you know how like acid eats at things? Like it's actually little mouths that eat at you.
Oh, okay.
Like
so
the flesh eating disease that they launch at you.
Okay, yeah. So they don't use like metaphor or they're completely literal in every way. Like they spit acid and it eats away at metal is because it's actually eating and digesting it.
Yeah. That's the Lore Boy's canon.
Something's really satisfying that flesh eating disease, whenever you put as an acronym, is fed. I really like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Jamie likes flesh-eating diseases. You heard it here.
Jamie working for big disease over here. Just like, isn't it interesting what the Ebola marketing has done? Or I guess be like leprosy.
I don't know. I don't know too many flesh-eating diseases in real life.
Me neither.
Never met one. They seem nice. I don't want to judge.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. don't you both sides be Peter. I'm just saying, some of those flesh-eating diseases are good people, okay? it's by this adaptive nature that the High Fleet can evolve to generate a force capable of overwhelming almost any opposition, unleashing vast throngs of ferocious alien monsters that can fly, run, burrow, and stalk through the defenses of any foe. A lot of the miniatures have rules for like burrowing and stuff, which is basically like you pull them off the table, and then you can just like place them on the table a few turns later. Or some of them have like when you first place them. So how Warhammer works is usually you take turns kind of like positioning all the units in your army, and you have kind of like there's like a center line that you can't go past. But then like a burrow unit will like enter play on like the second turn, but it can enter like behind their forces or something like that.
Yeah.
The models and miniatures.
Or if they just went like underground and then you allow your enemy to advance and then you just come up right underneath them.
Pop right up underneath them, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That definitely got carried around from into a bunch of different miniature games, because I have some of the Battletech figurines for Dark Age that I found like at a hobby store.
Yeah.
And some of my units have like one of their movement abilities is Infiltrator, where you can place them on the opposite side of the table. Nice. And get like flanking damage as well, which it would be like that version of burrow is to
StarCraft line
to just like have guys on the other side already.
Yeah,
StarCraft does exactly that too. Burrow that you can research and then do it.
And we've discussed it before, but StarCraft is a ripoff of Warhammer.
Come at me,
Blizzard. What's your CEO? What are you gonna do? Give your CEO another bonus? Come on.
Oh no, a Canadian boy doesn't like our video game, sir. Better give myself a raise to feel better.
Dude, they don't care about their legacy titles. I played Diablo 2 this weekend and the servers were down for like 4 hours. And it was a ladder reset too. You'd think they'd pay attention.
They do care about their legacy titles and the fact that they'll actively pursue like people just running Diablo 2 on their own servers and we'll get them shut them down. But
So, as I
said before, Warhammer 40K does canonically take place in the Milky Way galaxy, the large expanse between galaxies being not practically traversable for most races or technologies. The Tyranid are an exception to this rule. They are an extra galactic species. Nobody knows where the Tyranid are from, but most people assume they were born somewhere beyond the void that separates the galaxies of the local group. The Tyranid swarm travels in what's known as hive fleets, massive swarms of the creatures traveling through the great vacuum in organisms known as hive ships. So you have, in Warhammer, you have, if you have the Ultramarines, who are the human races that we all know and love, they look like the StarCraft Terran. They got big blue power suits. They're always painted blue because that's the Ultramarines faction.
Ultramarine is a shade of blue too, I'm pretty sure.
Aquamarine, I think, is a shade
aquamarine?
Of blue.
Okay. Aquamarine is a shade of aquamarine.
I've never heard Bob Ross say ultramarine, so I'm going to say it's not a color.
I mean, ultramarine blue is definitely a color produced by Games Workshop, the people who make Warhammer 40K and sell it.
Yeah, but their shellac is called Chaos Black. It's just black spray paint.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if it is a color, I don't think it predated the Warhammer 40K Ultramarines. I think it evolved as, this is the color of Warhammer 40K Ultramarines. Yeah. Here's Ultramarine.
Ultramarine is a deep blue color pigment originally made by grinding lapis lazuli into a powder. So it's nice. Holy shit. Yeah, it's been around since the 14th and 15th century.
Damn, dude.
Wow. I did not expect that.
No original ideas, huh?
Yeah, all the good ideas have been taken. So what you're saying is StarCraft is a ripoff of blue paint.
I mean, yeah, there was an old lady that swallowed a fly, you know.
Fucking bastards.
For the Tyranid, you have the same kind of concept where you have different color schemes represent different hive fleets. Now, when I used to play in 4th edition, you couldn't just paint Space Marines any color you wanted. You had to paint them one of the chapter specific colors, but Tyranid was one of the few races where you could paint them any color scheme and say like, oh, this is just another Hive fleet. Like it's canonical, but here's another Hive fleet that came in. It was one of the reasons why I picked Tyranid in the first place is because one of my friends in high school was like, no, if you get this one, like you have to paint them these colors. I was like, I want to paint them these colors. She's like, well, they're not going to be like tournament legal then. I was like, well, that's dumb. But Tyranids, you can paint whatever color you want. So I had some sick white and purple Tyranid boys.
They're the improv troop of the galaxy, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
We need three suggestions from the audience. Did I see or someone say all the biological material on their planet? Yeah, we'll paint that.
They all have baggy pants and just loud shirts. And,
yeah. They want attention so bad. He says, putting his voice on the internet.
For attention.
Yeah.
If you want to pay us to do it, reach out to us. Sponsorship at loreboys.com. Just kidding. That's not a real email. Just tweet at us or something. You'll figure it out. So each of these hive ships that they use to traverse the void between galaxies is home to countless lesser Tyranid organisms growing in the bubbling organ sacs of the vessel's reproductive chambers.
That is awful.
So this is where Tyranids are born. This is how Babby make. Is you just jump into a bubbling organ sac of one of these hive vessels' reproductive chambers, you know?
It's a horrible combination.
Bubbling organ sac, yeah.
Yeah, so they basically just like Tyranids go down to a planet, grab all the organic material, and then I assume like bees puke it all back up when they get onto the ship, you know?
Okay.
Into whatever, an ovary, and that ovary molds it into more Tyranids. I can only assume.
How do they assign like jobs to the organ sacs? Like, do they have sections of like worker, soldier, new spaceship sort of thing? Other accountant, other jobs that an entire civilization might need.
This pile of spit is for scouting.
Yeah, exactly.
So I really, I don't think there's any kind of a sense of self in most of these organisms. I think they're more like fingers, less like employees, you know?
Okay. Like there's no confusion where it's like, don't mix up the blue collar and the white collar slime before we develop them.
Exactly. All slime's good slime. I'll be the first one to say it, you know?
Yeah.
These hive ships, they move in formations known as tendrils. They migrate to inhabited planets and consume all the usable material they may find there, then reproduce en masse. When a hive fleet encounters a prey world, as they're dubbed, it does not invade for territorial gain or out of a sense of pride or vengeance. It is doubtful the Tyranid hive mind even comprehends such concepts. We'll get into the Tyranid hive mind in a little bit. Not much of an ego, or maybe infinite ego? Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So since how they reproduce is by eating things and then puking them up, the Tyranid require an endless supply of food, not only to maintain and nourish the hive fleets, but to grow those new organisms.
And so,
it's like a rabbit. If it stops eating, it'll die. Because it relies on eating new things a rabbit doesn't digest. It has to continue eating to push the food through its digestion.
Is that true?
That is, I've been told wild. That. Just the way you phrased it to say a rabbit needs to eat things or it'll die was very funny.
It sounds like it's not a rabbit death.
I thought you were just trolling, not giving us cool rabbit facts, you know?
And this concludes for more information on that.
Ask him to stop feeding his rabbits and see if they die. that is wild though.
Yeah, one of my exes had a rabbit, and that's what she said, anyways. But I don't know; she's not always the most trustworthy person. So prove me wrong.
Jamie's there, drunk at 2 p.m. on a Saturday, and she just like gets off her shift. She's just like, you fucking forget to feed the rabbit again? He's like, what's the big deal? What's it gonna do? Die if I don't feed it? Come on.
I just want to see Jamie's head on that meme where it just says, rabbits need food or they will die. Change my mind.
Yeah. So they require an endless source of food, like rabbits, right, to grow new organisms. So the Hive fleet invades a planet rich in life. Every action of every tyrannic creature is honed to a single goal, the total and rapid absorption of that world's organic population, ecosystems, and bioresources. The more lost in the invasion, obviously, the more they need to devour. So there's kind of like a sunk cost fallacy there somewhere, where it, if you ever have a canonical tyrannids withdrawing, that would be like why. They're like, they've evaluated the remaining bioresources on the planet and determined that they won't overcome like how much they will have to invest, kind of thing.
They declare like biological bankruptcy and then withdraw from the planet to find something else.
bio bankruptcy.
Wait, you're saying they don't do that though, right? Like they never pull back at any cost.
I'm saying like, so again, this is a lot like D&D or a lot of other games where like to canonize your own games, or like Magic the Gathering, to canonize your own games, you have to kind of like take what you're given. So if you ever have like your Tyranid forces and you're like, oh, you know, we lost, but you're doing like, because you can do like a campaign of Warhammer 40K matches or whatever, you know, and you say we're going to do a best of seven and it's going to be for the for a planet or whatever, you know, and you're just having fun with your friends, then you could make it canonical by saying like, oh, you know, they decided to pull out because they realize that they were spending too much resources for how much they would get. It wouldn't make sense. Like they're not driven by ego. They're not driven by pride or conquest. The second that they didn't think they were going to get enough bioresources back, they're going to pull out. Like it just doesn't make sense for them to stay. The only thing they want is to gain more biomass. And if they're going to lose more biomass, then they're going to pull out the second they realize that.
Wow. Cool. They got a good business mind for just something that is all devouring.
Yeah. They are cold and calculating, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you got to introduce the Tyranids to Stonks. They'd make a killing.
Yeah.
And or eat everyone.
Stonksman is actually a Tyranid biomass. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks like it. you gave me such... Because there is... Like, I like D&D, but I've never, like, really wanted to participate in a campaign actively. Like, if somebody invited me, I'd totally hit it up. But, like... The process of building and painting minifigures for Warhammer and then also having like a custom campaign with my friends, I just in my mind watched my bank balance drop by like $1,200. I saw that money. I just had like a micro dream right now of $1,200 leaving my bank account. But like enjoying so much.
you'll get yourself a nice starter army for that much.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Some nice man at Games Workshop will tell you all the nice things you need to buy to get into it.
Yes, he will. Yeah.
No. You don't want to use any old paint. You definitely need one of our Games Workshop approved paints to paint your miniature.
You need ultramarine blue, but not that shit from the 14th century. Yeah. You need ours.
No. Don't bring your own lapis lazuli. You'll get 65 milliliters for $25. Okay, it's more expensive than horseshoe crab blood. Like.
No, thank you. I'd rather collect all my blue flowers, dry them, and crush them myself.
It's not going to be Games Workshop legal then. You won't be able to use those figures at any Games Workshop sanctioned events, just so you know.
If I got like a fucking nerd ref with like a spectrometer who like checks the paint on your figurines.
I mean, in theory, I honestly don't know if they still lean that way because they've gone bankrupt, I think, twice since the last time I played and like restructured and all this stuff. So,
like the Tyranids, Games Workshop is resilient to failure.
Yeah. So to the end of devouring all life on a planet, the Hive fleet creates an army with the express purpose of overcoming the prey world's defenders before it is stripped of every scrap of biomatter and devoured. So they will custom make an army before invading a planet. They're like, oh.
Do they abduct people first to see what the life on the planet is like?
I mean, I don't think they abduct, but they scout in some way. They Tyranid do have some pretty powerful psychic ability. We'll get into it a bit more. I mean, humans also have psychic ability in the Warhammer 40K universe. They have units called psychers who are, if you can connect to the warp, in some way, you're able to like manipulate, it and use it basically as magic. They also might just send like scouts. They might abduct people.
The way that you said it with
binoculars, who knows? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
like they have their tendrils and they can feel out how it's going to be. The tendrils are the forces, though, rather than the mind, I guess. Yeah. And then whatever's in the goop in the organ sacs will just form based on what they sense, which is it sounds like it wouldn't even be, they wouldn't even know what's going to be made until they feel what's ahead of them.
Exactly. It's
just a big chamber of slimy Kinder surprises that is like, wow. Oh, I got a fucking puzzle.
Well, which is good because it's it turns out it's actually just like an entire planet of elderly people. So if we invade with puzzles, we can
distraction.
Get no conflict.
Kinder surprises aren't available in the States, I think. There's somewhere they're not available. So this is a small chocolate egg with a toy on the inside, for those who don't know.
Yeah, that is something that I've heard, that they're banned in the United States.
They decided they were too dangerous to keep in American society. If Americans stop eating, then they die.
Well, that doesn't sound true. What is America, if I could ask you a question, what's your Second Amendment for, if not to protect yourself from a Kinder Surprise toy?
Yeah, exactly. It stops the King of England from taking your Kinder Surprise, as far as I know.
So, who remembers how faster than light travel in the Warhammer 40K universe works, or Warhammer 40K galaxy works?
Don't you jump into the warp, which is an evil dimension of liquid magic on the other side of space, and then you pop out at your destination, in and around at least?
Exactly.
Yes, Emery.
Most of the races of the Milky Way use this thing called the warp, or the immaterium, a hellish realm where twisted gods of torture and violence come from. The Tyranid, however, don't have access to the warp, as far as we know. They don't use it to travel faster than light. It doesn't exist between galaxies, so that's one of the big reasons why nobody could make it outside the galaxy, is because the warp needs life to sustain itself, and there's no life between the galaxies.
Now, this, I don't know if this is just me spitballing here, but could it be because they require biomass to function, and like demons aren't technically digestible, they wouldn't be able to use the warp anyway?
I'm gonna say no, because you can fight forces of chaos, and like the Tyranid would fight the forces of chaos, like Chaos Space Marines, who would have like demons and stuff at their, like, as part of their armies and everything. And usually those are kind of like twisted biomasses themselves. They're like horribly warped humans and the like.
Yeah. So what you got to do is you got to get yourself some Tyranids, and you got to get them to tendril their way out of the Milky Way, because they can make it this far. So they can make it that far backwards, right?
For sure.
And then you can ride their biomass goop in the warp to get out of it.
Okay.
That's a five head move.
Yeah. I mean, that might work. I can't think of any reason why it wouldn't. But maybe it's just like the Tyranid don't respond to the warp, so the warp doesn't respond to them. I don't know. We're gonna say Lore Boys Canon, if you could unionize the Tyranid, then you could get the hell out of here, the Milky Way galaxy, you know what I mean? You gotta get them ever present enough that the warp persists wherever they are.
They don't seem very open to negotiation. It might be hard to organize them.
Yeah. Maybe if they had their own self-interest, if there's something for them on the
that's
other
it. End, you give them what they want, you know, and then you get a little back. You'd be like, you can devour.
You can lie and that's say true. There's biomass there.
Yeah. No, but look over there. They're the only ones who've ever been there. Like, yeah. No, but there's biomass over there. I don't think so. So in order to navigate these unbelievably vast distances of empty space, they've had to get creative. Their capability comes from a small bioship classified by the Imperium of Man as a narwhal, but I think they look more like a squid than a narwhal.
Okay, I see.
Unlike most Tyranid bioships, the narwhal is almost completely defenseless and possesses almost no bioweaponry and only a very thin protective carapace. A cluster of monofilament spines on the narwhal's bow allow it to take in a wide variety of sensory input, including a broad spectrum of gravimetric and electromagnetic signals. Using these sensors, the narwhal can detect new planetary systems at extreme interstellar distances. In some unknown manner, it then makes use of the origin star system's own gravity and creates a compressed time-space transit corridor through which the narwhal and other Tyranid bioships can traverse interstellar distances.
So I was in my head trying to repeat that to myself, and that is a chunk of words that are really hard to say together. I got tongue-tied with my mouth closed.
It's very much sci-fi, like, word soup. where it's here's a bunch of sci-fi where it's, you know, they use the planet's own gravimetric field to compress a space-time transit corridor through which the Tyranid can travel.
We gotta travel to the Horizon Zero Dawn with the gravimetric cords on the front of the narwhal.
Yeah, yeah. The narwhal beacons at midnight, or whatever the Reddit people used to say.
What?
That was on Reddit a while
long
back.
Time ago. It was an 11-year-old meme Jamie's thrown out.
Well, it's the first time I've think about narwhals in 11 years, I think. But they got a big horn. I just looked them up. They got a big old horn in the front. I guess that's kind of like a...
comes out of their mouth. Yeah, it's a tooth. Yeah. It's a tusk.
Oh, it's one big tooth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, when I was in Kudjuwak, I ate either beluga or narwhal. I don't recall. I'll find out from my dad at some point. No, because I only ate one piece. It was gross.
Traditionally, you have to eat it with one tooth.
Yeah, you have to like nip it from the side there.
do manatees or narwhal, or do belugas even live up north? I thought they only lived down south. Oh.
Yep.
Are manatees and belugas the same thing? No, beluga's its own thing, eh?
Beluga's a whale. The manatee is like a seal or something.
It's a sea cow.
The sea cow, yeah, exactly. No, like beluga's whale.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was thinking of manatees, not...
Better question, not Jamie. Do belugas need food to live?
Yes, but they can stop eating. Okay. They don't have to always eat.
Oh, good.
Yeah. They can take breaks.
Yeah, so the dummy down layman's term of this is they have a thing that lets them like latch onto distant stars and then somehow jump to those star systems.
They're like so hyper evolved they can grapple with gravity basically and then get there real fast, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
They see gravity in a different way, I guess, these specific Tyranids that let them like just jump right to it faster. I don't know.
Cool.
Damn.
So, using these
good enough. It's 40,000 years in the future. What am I going to do? Argue?
So they can't. The narwhals can't warp too close because apparently, once they get too close to a star, like there's too much gravity all around them, and it just fucks them up.
Oh well, that's the same thing with the KF drive from BattleTech, which is kind of a neat parallel there as well. That's why you have the jump ships in BattleTech. You can't just like warp wherever you want.
Exactly. It's just to explain why, like, all of a sudden, like, a Tyranid hive fleet doesn't appear in orbit above the planet, you know? Like, in a split second. So they have to warp some distance away from the star system. It could be a few years, like a few Earth years to a few decades of planet solar system away before they complete their approach. They can also, as they approach, they also cause the destination worlds to suffer from earthquakes, solar flares, tidal waves. They, like, whatever it is about them manipulating gravity, it just sets, like, all the cats run under the couch and all the dogs start barking, you know?
Okay.
Everyone starts to go mad. There's earthquakes, solar flares, floods, tsunamis, all sorts of stuff.
It's their version of what we're going through right now, but it's just like dogs have been barking since January. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. on approach, a bunch of people get real sick of fascism and racism and decide to actually say something about it for once in a while.
But then they get digested by bugs. So exactly. I don't want that to happen for real.
A nice thing that actually happened with our pandemic and everything is a lot of the shelters with dogs don't have any dogs anymore because people had so much time at home. They all got adopted, which is a really nice thing that happened.
Aww.
That
is nice. Yeah. People bought so many fucking fish.
I hope COVID never ends.
Wait.
So it's kind of, it seems to be the way it's written that it's an unintended consequence of the way that they warp, but it is pretty convenient when you think about it. Like if you were going to invade a country and you could make like a bunch of solar flares and crazy powerful storms and earthquakes and tidal waves hit them. That'd be like
can
a good thing.
Can they consume the dead?
Sorry?
Can they consume the dead?
Absolutely. I think that's the majority of people that they consume. Because they have a lot of like bone scythes that they use to chop people in half, you know?
Just because I was saying, like, you create a bunch of hurricanes and earthquakes and people get killed. Well, people, like whatever the fuck is inhabiting the planet, like they would die.
They're not carnivores, they're omnivores. Because they eat all plant life too. All plant life, all fungus. It said all down to the smallest bacteria.
Okay.
So I guess they have like bigger bacteria that eats it, and then they just suck that up in a straw, you know?
Yeah. No rocks, no metal. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Anything that consumes and puts out energy, they'll just eat it. Basically.
Exactly. They
would attack a golem?
What kind of golem are we talking here? Like a clay golem? Like of Jewish lore?
Well, I wasn't exactly thinking about that.
Tune in next week for the lore of the Torah with Peter.
But I guess, so they wouldn't eat robots and they wouldn't eat.
No, so like something like
a rolling golem gathers no rust.
Yeah. So something like the Tau. That's from League of Legends. Something like the Tau, who are a very advanced alien race, like probably the most like technologically advanced, at least it seems, alien race.
The guys with the Gundams.
Yeah, exactly. So they have like a bunch of like pure robotic units. In theory, the Tyranid wouldn't devour those. They would just destroy them to get to the gooey Tau bits inside. You know, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tau sniper?
Right. Yeah, the Tyranid deploy that cartoon owl from the commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just all made of bone.
How many licks, though?
52.
Okay, good.
Not that many.
If you roll a 10 or higher.
It's 52 if you have a tongue coated in small bioorganisms that take a bite every time you take a lick, you know?
We kind of do.
Cheating.
We got to do. Those
on the small scale, yeah.
So we're starting to get a picture of how the Tyranids do all the things that they do, but we haven't really talked about the why they do the things that they do, besides to reproduce, I guess, you know?
That's all it took, yeah. Do they need a why?
They're horny?
So
this is how they breed?
Yeah, this is how they breed. This is fucking for them. So the Tyranids are controlled by, as we've said, a hive mind. A gestalt collective consciousness of the Tyranid species. Seemingly omniscient, it is composed of pure psychic energy and controls every Tyranid creature with unwavering resolve. And it communicates largely through what are referred to as synapse creatures, large, powerful Tyranid organisms that double as 5G towers for lesser Tyranid. So when someone claims that 5G causes Tyranids, destroys one of these synapse towers, the lesser bioforms devolve into more animalistic, like impulse-driven responses. They still seek to like destroy and kill, but they won't function as like a cohesive unit. This is mirrored on when you play on the tabletop game. If you lose some of your big creatures, there's a chance that some of your units just go rogue and they'll like move in a random direction and attack random enemies. Lose all semblance of strategy.
I was hoping they would canonize that. That's really cool that it works that way. Yeah, sorry. What were you saying, Peter?
I was going to comment exactly on, like, I was going to ask about, like, building a Tyranid toy army. And, like, if, at, like, a set comes with, like, a figurine that if you lose it, these units in specifically go nuts.
Yeah, so one of the new ones since I played is Tyranid Warrior, I think it's called. But I had a Hive Tyrant, which was one that would basically control my whole army, which is like a huge, very point expensive unit. So you have a certain number of points that you can use to build your army, and that's how you balance it. So you do a 2,000 point Tyranid army versus a 2,000 point Space Marine army. But whereas like a Tyranid Termagant or Hormagant, which are like the smallest little guys that you can get, and they're like Zerglings and they just run in.
Termagant.
The Goosebumps girl, but she's a Tyranid. Yeah.
Hormagurt.
Gersperms.
2,000 perks. Termagurt.
Speaking of ancient memes. Oh, my God.
Whereas you have those guys. Those guys might be worth, I don't know, let's say 10 points each. A Hive Tyrant would be worth like 200 points, you know, just on its own.
Okay, yeah.
So it's worth at least 20 of the little guys, just points-wise. I also had a Carnifex, which did not serve as one, but it was like a 300-point unit, but it couldn't function as a synapse tower. It was just like a walking machine of destruction. If I could ever get my Carnifex into my enemy's Imperial Guards, because the guy I played against the most, he played Imperial Guard. If I could ever get the Carnifex into his lines, I would just win. But the whole game was just trying to get his units engaged long enough to get my Carnifex like into range, basically.
Wow.
So conversely, while those 5G towers still stand, the larger, more autonomous creatures, like I said, are able to telepathically exert the hive mind's influence in order to control smaller Tyranid bioforms. Not only do the Tyranids seem to wield massive psychic control over their own kind, they are extremely capable at disrupting the efforts of human psychers or any other race's access to the warp. So they don't use the warp to travel, but they do seem to have some sort of connection to it, because that's okay, where all psychic powers come from, and that seems to be what they use to communicate with their own kind in some way.
Neat.
So there's an effect, an ability, if you will, a skill tree unlock for the Tyranid called the Shadow in the Warp. It's a psychic phenomenon exerted by the hive mind that blocks nearby connections to the warp. So something like my hive tyrant, which would serve to control my own guys, if he was close enough to, like if I was playing against Ross and he had a psyker on his squad, if my hive tyrant was close enough, it would disrupt and make him unable to use his psyker's psychic abilities.
Okay. He's like a mobile driving through a tunnel sort of thing.
He's a mobile tunnel. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, I remember Russ had a table for painting them and everything. Like, he had a specialized corner for all of his Warhammer stuff.
He had a pretty good setup. He was an only child, as it were.
He used to make me. He would play in Halo, and his name was Scope, and he would make me call him Scope in real life while we were playing Halo. We were all dumb kids back then, though.
Yeah, were we all?
Oh, yeah, 2001.
It's unknown how their connection to the warp works, because they don't use it to travel. But it does seem like the hive mind itself lives in the warp. It seems to come from the warp in some way.
Oh, that was a question I had. Is this massive psychic energy isn't a physical thing? Like, it's not on like some big ass Tyranid ship somewhere else.
At least not that anyone's ever seen. But like I said, it's definitely extragalactic. So it's from outside the galaxy.
Yeah.
But it also seems to, it's only ever seen or noticed inside the warp. Nobody's ever seen any physical evidence of the hive mind. But the warp doesn't exist in the space between galaxies. So either the warp kind of like exists in every galaxy in its own way and is somehow connected so that this foreign body could come and adapt to this new one so easily.
Yeah.
Or there is, like you say, a physical thing somewhere that is somehow adapted to use the warp in the galaxy they're in right now. But that serves the question, how did the Tyranids get by before coming to this galaxy? Because they came with multiple hive fleets. So how did all these hive fleets thrive and flourish and become their own things if they didn't have this psychic ability to connect with the lesser bioforms?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, there still would be planets with life in other galaxies regardless. And if the warp is connected to galaxies, as though it is like dark energy or whatever that holds shit together or whatever the fucking theory is right now, where galaxies would be connected through some sort of warp web sort of thing.
Yeah.
If they had an inter-warp, if they had a thing inside the warp that could guide them, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Because if it was from some other galaxy, it would probably have a hell of a lot of trouble constantly pinging through extragalactic 5G monsters.
Yeah, as far
to
as
be able to communicate with something else.
As far as the Imperium knows, there is no extragalactic communication to outside of the galaxy. So if it's possible, it's not anything the foremost minds of the study of the warp have ever seen or understood, and that's for the Eldar, the Necron, for the space vampires, for anybody. They've never seen, other than the Tyranids, things that can get outside.
It was a Catan, right? The vampires?
Mm-hmm. As someone who's never really delved deep into the universe, the way that it's explained, it sounds like the humans would perceive things in three dimensions, plus the warp would be almost like another dimension. And that since they're able to travel so far, that they've kind of maybe operate on a different dimension, and it's only appear on the warp, which would be like the fourth or fifth or whatever dimension you want to call it. So it's just that maybe it's not, you can't perceive it in 3D space.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe the Tyranid operate on like a fifth dimensional level, and so they can step down to the fourth. But whatever that fifth dimension is, like, nobody in the Milky Way galaxy in the 41st millennium or the 42nd millennium is aware of or is able to perceive or comprehend with like the foremost minds and technologies available to us. Nobody is able to see it, but the Tyranids seem to be able to use it somehow.
That's cool.
Okay.
Of course, we did a poll. They're not great conversationalists, so we can't just ask them. a Tyranid swarm's very presence is said to drive most psykers mad. So just being near a Tyranid swarm is a lot of tension for a psychic person. If it doesn't have like
a canary in a coal mine for an invasion sort of thing, their psychers start going crazy, or do they go crazy when they're close enough that everybody else knows?
So everybody kind of goes crazy, but the psychers feel it way more. So there's only a single known human to have gazed long enough into the immaterium in the presence of the Tyranid to have observed what he calls the hive mind itself, or what he saw as the hive mind itself. And that's Chief Librarian Tigurius of the Ultramarines. His power is considered less than the Emperor of Mankind. So in theory, if he could do it, the Emperor of Mankind could. But like, there's one person that has like lived to tell the tale of seeing, of like peering into the void right in the face of a synapse creature and made it out with his sanity intact, kind of thing. So the invasive psychic shroud sows terror and confusion on prey worlds as it traps and prevents the doomed inhabitants from calling for assistance. So not only is the void the warp used for interplanetary travel and interstellar travel and all these things, it's also used for interstellar communication. It's how you explain, like, if it takes a radio signal, you know, 40 light years to reach the next star, how do you ever have any kind of cohesive empire? And it's because, oh, the warp lets you do it or whatever. But the Tyranids show up. They block all that communication and all warp travel out. So, like, once the Tyranids are there, you can't leave and you can't call for help, kind of thing.
You got to fight them or die, basically.
Yeah, essentially. So it penetrates into the minds of nearby creatures and manifests as a primal malaise that can never be expelled. If a creature possesses psychic potential, then the horror they feel is magnified tenfold. Any use of their psychic abilities could unleash a form of incurable psychosis. As a hive fleet approaches a target planet, whole populations plunge into madness and despair even before the first Tyranids have made planetfall.
Okay. Jeez. Black Friday.
Yeah, exactly. It's Black Friday every time the Tyranids show up.
Oh, God.
How lonely, though, right? Like, you just get cut off from the rest of everyone and then slowly go crazy? That's sounds awful.
Yep.
Sounds like Jamie right now with his long hair and beard.
Yeah. I mean, it's quarantine for us right now, right?
Yeah.
It's like, on the one hand, you get devoured by a cold, calculating race of monsters that wants to assume your biological material to create more monsters. And on the other hand, I can't go to the bar, you know? So who's really...
That bugs me way more.
Who's really got it worse here, you know? Like, I don't know.
If I still had a job, I'd have purpose. And if the Tyranids would digest me and turn me into, I don't know, if a cell phone made of meat, at least I would have something to do. I don't fucking know.
Instead of a screen and like you got like eyes and then teeth for buttons.
Yeah,
the little numbers in the teeth. Oh, yeah.
It's like you get a text and rather than like words appearing on a screen, it's like the words just bump up in the flesh like goosebumps. You know? Like,
a little finger instead of an antenna on the top. Like,
yeah.
I guess our cell phones have antennas anymore, but
of course the last time anybody saw a phone with a fucking antenna on it.
I mean, it's very Tyranid, you know, they're very retro in a lot of ways. So
but
it's not a finger, it's just like a fleshy appendage that fills with blood, right? So it's more like a boner, right?
Oh, okay.
Just,
yeah,
your phone gets an erection and that's when you get good signal. You gotta play with the butthole to get good signal.
Oh my god. Wait, hang on a sec, I can't hear you.
Yeah. I'm not going through a tunnel. Wait a second. Hive Tyrant, get out of here. I don't want any cookies, god damn it. I'm trying to make a phone call.
Cookies.
I assume they make cookies out of biological material as well. Everything they eat, they probably just puke back up, right? So food would be like such a treat, because you could eat it without guilt, you know. So despite the seeming power of the hive mind, it is not infallible. The Majos Biologists of the Imperium of Man categorizes each Hive fleet as a separate force. Each is self-sufficient and employs different strategies and unique creatures. And it's possible two Hive fleets might arrive at the same planet and go to war with one another over the limited biological resources.
Will they digest each other?
Yep. So that's that's how you can make canonical Tyranid versus Tyranid battles when you play with your friends, is you have your two different Hive fleets that are going to war with each other.
Okay.
It seems likely that the Milky Way wouldn't be the first to know the predations of the Tyranid, but we know they came from somewhere else, but we don't know if, like, did they become this in transit, you know? Did being in the void between galaxies so long warp the hive mind into something that was, like, unknowing and just all-consuming? Some scholars theorize that they may have come here on the lam, running from some cosmic disaster or even a more fearsome alien threat. So some scholars are like, they're here because something kicked them out of their galaxy, and they're doing everything they can to just prepare for whenever that threat arrives.
It would be kind of tragic if we saw, well, I mean, we call them villainous, but, like, it's hard to qualify something that doesn't seem to really think that much as evil if all they really do is recycle and digest, right? If they had fled their previous home as, like, an intelligent race with individuals, and over time between galaxies devolved into, like, a recycling hive, that's kind of like a sad tragedy, because, like, as humans, we value individuality a lot, and that's why hive minds are so scary.
So scary.
But, like, imagine if that was, like, the last resort to keep, like, one... The only way to keep one last heart beating was to, like, have one mind left over between... Like,
yeah, that's the plot of a lot of things where you're on, like, a spaceship and you're going on a journey, and there's 200 people, but only enough rations for 100. So yeah. They have to decide, do we all live, or, like, do we all die, or do only 100 of us live, kind of thing.
I mean, that's kind of the story of any real world dictatorship, right? Like, no, we only need one mind. It's mine. I'll make decisions for everyone.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Where was I? Oh, so yeah. So some scholars suspect that the Tyranid have risked the nothingness between galaxies rather than facing extinction. The first officially recorded contact with the Tyranids for the Imperium occurred during a Tyranid attack on an ocean world called Tyran in the year 745 M41. So 41,745.
Okay.
Was the first known contact with the Tyranid. They're named Tyranid because the first planet that they were contacted was Tyran.
Imagine being that fisherman when the guys, right? Yeah. They start landing on your planet, like, you're not ready for that.
You're just out there on your boat, and you suddenly start to get really paranoid about the fish that you're trying to catch.
I was more thinking he'd be really laid back because he's, like, old. He's just like, well, Jacoby, I think it's time to pack it in. And just, like, rolling back to shore, just, like, as the hive thing comes down through the sky.
Yeah. The old man and the unstoppable killing machine. Great Hemingway short story or novella. So if any of the older intelligent species such as the Eldar were aware of the Tyranids, they didn't elect to warn mankind. So the first recorded history that we have of them is on this attack on Tyran.
And they didn't even update us after we had given it our own name and date?
They've never claimed, the Eldar have never claimed that they did, in fact, know of the Tyranid before this.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they did.
Well, they're from outside the galaxy, so maybe they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe this was, honest to God, the first place that they ever stopped.
Okay, yeah.
So Hive Fleet Behemoth had left plenty of evidence of its approach to the fringes of the Milky Way galaxy. Over the course of the solar decade that preceded the first contact at Tyran, Imperial Explorators had performed a census of the star systems surrounding the far-flung Adeptus Mechanicus outpost located at Tyran Primus. These explorators had discovered something curious, for entire worlds known to have once been verdant planets teeming with all manner of alien animals and plants had been stripped bare, reduced to barren rocks floating in the vacuum. So for a full decade, and this is like so too real for me, where, like, entire planets are just, like, disappearing mysteriously, almost like entire species disappearing mysteriously for, like, decades. And the government's just like, it's a little unusual, but probably not that noteworthy, right? Let's just, we better steady the course.
Hasn't cut into the bottom line just yet, so let's keep going.
Yeah.
Do they digest money? No.
We're fine. Do they digest credits?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not one speck of life, not even the simplest of bacteria, remained to be found. Though this anomaly was reported to the Explorator General of the Adeptus Administratum, no follow-up was ordered. The galaxy is a place larger than a single human mind can comprehend, and untold and unsolved mysteries abound. As always, the Administratum was as slow as only a galaxy-spanning bureaucracy can be.
So that is totally a fair explanation, though. Because we have multiple Earth bureaucracies that can't get shit done.
Exactly.
Imagine if they had to take care of just two countries, let alone one, right? Or outer space. And then the excuse is just like, I don't know, man, space is big and weird. I can't I don't know why there's no bacteria on that rock out there, dude. Nerd, go back to Mars and make me some more killer robots.
I mean,
sort of shit.
It's literally, I mean, the most obvious parallel is global warming, where we have this, like,
yeah, of course,
real life thing wiping out, like, entire, you know, species, entire, like, plants, like, devastating the climate. And people are just like, well, we don't know what it could be, so why bother changing anything? And you're like,
Australia's on fire, and everybody's just like, that's odd.
Yeah, that's odd, but we probably shouldn't do anything about it just yet, you know? We want to wait for all the information to be in.
When was this written?
What?
When was this written?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's always like The Simpsons predicted it sort of shit, but it's like, oh, Warhammer predicted it. was trying to go for, unless they wrote this in like 2020, where it's just like the newest expansion, global warming, but it's bugs.
I mean, it could be. So that the Mechanicus outpost on Tyrion had any warning at all of the impending attack was only due to good fortune. A survey starship returning from a survey of yet another dead world encountered a cloud of unidentified objects as it entered the edge of the Tyrion system. Though crippled by what seemed to be mines made of organic tissue on the very edge of this cloud, the Explorator vessel managed to limp back to the Imperial base in orbit on Tyrion Primus and carry his dire warning. Several days later, the first full invasion of an Imperial world by a Tyranid high fleet began.
Okay.
The main outposts of Tyrion Primus would not fall easily to these extra-galactic predators. Located deep within the ruins of an ancient chain of volcanic islands, the Imperial base was heavily fortified to resist the fearsome storms and massive sea creatures of the ocean world's savage seas. So they were on, like, the planet with krakens, you know? So they already had, like, lots of tools to deal with krakens, so just, like, adapt those to just make them point up, you know? They were pointed down at the water, just make them point up.
Oh, yeah. But even with all the bureaucrats, even that took 3 days. Like, point the harpoons at the sky!
given Tyrion's position on the very edge of Imperial space, in a very dangerous and unexplored frontier region of the galaxy, Tyrion had been wisely provided with armament deemed adequate to deter the attacks of raiders or aggressive Xenos. Xenos is what you call anything that's not, like, the Western races in Warhammer. So, like, the Orcs are Xenos, the Tyranids are Xenos. The Eldar are, I don't think, Xenos. They're
really?
They're considered white enough, as it were.
Okay, I see. They're allowed in the club.
Yeah, exactly. They got entry to the country club. It was like it
can
was
they,
on the fence.
Can
for
they
a while.
Golf? They can golf. Is the important question?
Tyrion had four giant planetary defense lasers to protect it, each protected in turn by hardened ceramite silos and void shield generators. You know, more sci-fi mumbo jumbo. The amount of firepower was further supported by 36 autocannon and laser cannon interceptor emplacements, an overlapping network of defense bastions, and a Proteus class bunkers. So all very fancy sounding, sci-fi, very strong outpost stuff.
Good.
Surely they'll be able to repel the tide. The Imperial garrison deployed on Tyrion Primus was also formidable. In addition to the cybernetic Skitarii bodyguard of the outpost's Adeptus Mechanicus commander, Magos Varnik, Tyrion boasted three full wings of the Imperial Navy's Thunderbolt fighters, three Endeavor-class light cruisers, and an entire infantry regiment of Astra Militarium. This was a standard garrison for a valued Imperial frontier outpost and has been proven to be effective against most of the adversaries faced by isolated Imperial troops on the Galactic Rim. Yet against the Great Devourer, the garrison would prove to be little more than a brief obstacle to its endless hunger.
Okay, holy shit.
I have another quote for you guys here. We cannot live through this. Mankind cannot live through this. In a single day, they have covered this planet with a flood of living blades and needle-fanged mouths. Kill one, and 10 take its place. If they are truly without number, then our race is doomed to a violent death before every shred of our civilization is scoured away by a force more voracious than the fires of hell themselves. Death. by the machine god, death is here. That's the last words of Magos Varnak, the leader of the Imperial forces on Terran.
Jesus. Wow. The Mechanicus are my favorite faction that I know of as far as the design of their figurines go.
You a fan of Battletech or a fan of the Adeptus Mechanicus?
I am. I like the guys who the Martian nerds who make guns for people.
And that's the Tyranids. That's our nice little foray into who the Tyranids are, where they come from, where do they go, where do they come from, Cotton Eye Tyranid. Huh?
Yeah. Wow. thanks so much. They sound terrifying, yeah.
Yeah, there's spooky monsters, I guess you could say. I wouldn't say, but I guess you could say that, Peter.
What would you say?
I'd say they're probably just misunderstood.
Both sides me, Ethan.
Welcome to the boys, Both Sides podcast. Both Side Boys.
Both Side Boys here, and Jamie, the moderator.
thanks everyone for listening. If this is your first time listening, you mean the world to us. I'd give you a big smooch on the lips if I could. If this is not your first time listening to us, you still mean the world to us, and I'd still give you a big smooch on the lips if I could.
Really, kiss on the cheek at this point.
You can find me at Ethan the Deadman on Twitter. You can find my co-hosts at
Spooner Goon. He's lying. I'm just going to cut him off anyway.
Go ahead.
Spooner Goon.
This is my Diablo 2
thing.
That's
his Diablo thing. Oh,
At Pete O'Donohue on Twitter, at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram, theloreboys.com. And yeah, that's all the plugs I've got the energy for at the moment. Jamie, rest of the plugs?
Yeah, if you want to play Diablo 2 hardcore on US East, I'm Spooner Goon. I'll play with you level 51 or so. I'll rush you. I'll get you up to speed, and we'll play some sweet games. If you want, though, just really get into our Discord. That's where we hang out the most. Sometimes we'll stream some games, just hang out with all the people who are like-minded folks like us who just like video game lore. So get into that Discord, and we'll see you there.
Yeah, you can find links to our Discord in the description somewhere, or you can find it at loreboys.com. You can find all our contacts and all our links at loreboys.com. So please, if you feel inclined, check it out. And if you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. We don't ask for any money because we really enjoy doing this. But if you guys have a couple extra bucks to kick around, it does really validate us doing this and let us know that we're going the right way. If you want to just give us some suggestions, ways to improve the show, things you want to hear, we'd love to hear about it on the Discord, as Jamie said. If anybody doesn't trust Patreon, as I personally don't, I support all my favorite creators by sending them letters that I've written by cutting out different letters of magazines and pasting them to a piece of paper.
Yep, especially after we've gotten some of their family members' hair to package with it. To know, we know.
We have a system in place for people like you, people like me. And Pete's segue kind of tied in nicely there. We are collecting your hair this week on Loreboys Prime. So I want to have a baby, and I need biological material. I need your biomass, as it were. I'm a pacifist. I'm a vegetarian. I don't want to kill anyone, but I'm desperate for a child. And so I implore you, please send me your toe clippings. Send me your hair, any skin shavings. You got old scabs. I'll take those.
Yeah, I don't really want any of that for a baby, but my meat cell phone is kind of missing a few parts. So yeah. Keep sending those over.
Hey, I need a new SIM meat card for my. I changed my phone number.
His erection antenna fell off, and he needed a new one.
Exactly. I've got ED for my cell phone. And now they changed the size of the Viagra pill you put in a phone, so I don't have the money to shave it down.
Viagra. So yeah, you can send us those, and we'll give you access to Loreboys Prime, and we'll know that you guys support the show, and we'll give you exclusive access to half my child. As King Solomon would say, you'd be entitled to half of it at the very least. So,
wow.
I think that would constitute a
Loreboys
out.
Out. We're going to digest your family.
'd be so funny we make Jamie come.
Jesus.
What? Nice. All right. What,
did you think I was going to say something else? Or Weezer Blatter or something?
I didn't.
Have you ever seen that that infographic on how to safely choke during sex?
Nope.
Mm. Okay, there's one where it's like, don't press your thumb in because you can cave in like the
larynx
air packet. So you have to use like your hand like this, right? So there was that, but it didn't say in the context of sex. And then a tweet replied to it saying, I just went to a wrestling competition and made a dude come. Please label this better. Best way to joke.
Yeah. Pretty good. You guys ready?
Yep.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.